Praise the Lord. Thank you all for being here. The presence of God is already in this house. Woo! Already here. God, what you need. The water is stirred. Come forth and take what you need. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Praise the Lord. Let's open with prayer. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor because you are who you are. Not because of what you can do for us, but because you loved us so much that you gave us everything that we need to be who we're called to be. To walk this life out in joy and peace and love, Father. Things that the world cannot provide. But you have done it through the Son of Jesus Christ, through his suffering, through his resurrection, Father. That you have broken down the barriers so that we can be the children of God. With all the benefits and blessings that it affords us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, I praise you and I thank you because your spirit is already here. I bind and rebuke any of the hindrances the enemy may bring forth. You are put on notice. You are not welcome here in the name of Jesus. You must flee by the power of the blood. Father, let every person that comes through that door taste and see the love of God that it abides in us and through us. Father, let this word take root and grow and prosper in us, Lord Jesus. And I surrender myself as a vessel willing to you, Father. My words be your words, my thoughts your thoughts. Nothing of me remain but only you, Father. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, I started talking about the covenant. And this week, we're going to talk about the inheritance. What you have through Christ Jesus, through what he did for us, what we have inherited. And remember last we talked about testament and will. Today I want to talk about the will. We talk about the Father's will, God's will for my life. Let me just do a play on words here. It's an expression expressing the future, the desires, inclinations, or choices of a person or we'll say God's will at this point. It's a legal document of someone who wishes to record the distribution of property or what he owns or she owns. So when you talk about God's will, think about that for a minute. That's his will, not yours. His will, not yours. So last week we talked about the covenant, and I want to just read Deuteronomy 28. I want to hit some of the highlights, so try not to inundate you with too much reading. I've got so much I need to go over. But this was the covenant that the Israelites had, and because of Abraham, the blessing, the covenant God made with him, all the families of the earth, Genesis 12 says, will be blessed through Abraham. And this is where we came in. And it said, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to obey and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee. Not just come, but it's going to overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord. That's your part to do. Blessed shalt thou be in the cities, and blessed shalt thou be in the fields. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of the cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Man, it's chasing you down. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all those that setteth thine hand unto and all that you set your hand upon. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto him as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his way. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. What name do you want to be called by? And they shall be afraid of thee, and in the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which thy Lord sware unto thee by thy fathers to give thee, the Lord shall open up unto thee good treasures, his good treasures, not just anybody else's, his good treasures, the heavens to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Do you know why that's significant? The tail has to follow what the head does, right? That's why your mind is so important. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. And if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Did he leave anything out? That is a natural blessing in everything in this earth. Everything. That is everything. There ain't nothing he left out. Anywhere your foot goes, anywhere you put your hand to work, anything that you have will prosper and be plenteous. Why do we think the enemy can have right over any of that? He cannot. He cannot unless you give him permission. He cannot. This is part of the covenant we have through Jesus Christ. Staying in the will. This is his will for you. This is what he wills for you. This is what he wills for you to do. All you have to do is obey his voice. Obey his will. Obey his commands. Be his testimony in this, his testament here in this earth. And, you know, we have the scripture, which this, the Bible is the testimony, a testament of God. It's a testament. Everything we need is in there. Everything. Isn't that wonderful? Does that apply to the New Testament? Let's read about it. Matthew 6 and 33, and I'm just going to hit these. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. That scripture talks about the physical needs of your body, what you should wear, what you should eat, what you should be clothed with. You know, that he encourages you to do that. And then it says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious about life, what you eat, what you drink, nor what your body, what you put on, the cares of the day. We are to be anxious about nothing. Romans 16 and 25, and just write these down and read them. It says, now to him who is able to establish you. Paul is writing to the Romans and let him then know that God is able to establish them. That means he can support you. He can strengthen you. He can plant you firmly. And he is a fixer of things. That's what the word establish means in that verse. John 10 and 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly to the full. To the full. Philippians 4 and 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in and by through Jesus Christ. All the New Testament scriptures confirm what was written in Deuteronomy 28. Matthew 6 and 8 even says that your Father knows what you need before you even ask for it. But by all means, ask for it. But let me tell you, he's got a plan. He's already got it planned out. So let's talk about it. We talked about the testament last week. Is a person's will relating to his personal property, what he wants to leave to someone. And I referred that to last will and testament. Actually, in Matthew, when Jesus is breaking bread, we call the Last Supper, he said, this is my blood. It is New Testament, it says in the King James Version, New Testament. That means I'm about to leave here, but this blood is going to cover everything that you need. It's a testament. I'm leaving my life, my victories, everything I'm about to walk in for you. I'm leaving it all for you. Romans 5, 15 through 18, Paul advises we have atonement or forgiveness or pardon of sins through Jesus by grace. This is a free gift. Verse 18 says, by the righteousness of one The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You are justified by the cross and what Jesus did, his life. The cross just ended it all. And I'm going to explain a little more about the cross. But I want you to understand that you're walking into something powerful. Ephesians 2 and 8, if you read it, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It's just faith. It's just your faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot earn forgiveness. You cannot earn salvation. It is a free gift that God hands you. Many of us keep handing it back. Keep handing it back because the enemy's told us we're not worthy. Well, let me tell you, you are blessed and highly favored. That's what the Bible says. And prosperous in all that you do if you keep the commandments and obey the voice of the Lord. Anytime have you all not obeyed the voice of the Lord? I have. I'll be the first one to admit it. Got me in all kinds of trouble. I could see where I made the mistake. I could see the moment that I should have not done what I was told to do, or do what I should have done, what I was told to do, and how much better it would have been. Now I'm in all kinds of mess, and I got 10 people to apologize, and I got some repentance to do. His way is so much better. It is so much better. So 2 Peter 1 and 3, I want to talk about just the divineness that you walk in. Now, a couple of Wednesdays ago, I talked about how you have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, living within you. Wednesday night, read, go back and watch it. You have actually the mind of Christ. He's given you that. That's why the Scripture said, "Let this mind be in you." It's a choice. You've got it. You've got to choose to let it operate, though. "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." So 2 Peter 1 and 3. And there are four different words used in the Greek translation for power. And I just want to give you a brief overview of these. This was a study that I did that was pretty awesome. And I wanted to share it with you because, you know, iron sharpens iron. And this is all we're about. Read the word. It's your weapon. Sometimes you need to sharpen it up. Study the word. Learn the word. And I don't just, you know, sometimes I get information from other people. Pastor can be preaching, and I can be sit there writing out titles for the next things that God's showing me, writing out things that I need to do for myself. Iron sharpening iron, it's helping me. So for 2 Peter 1 and 3, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." The word for power there is dunamis. Dunamis is an inherent force. You inherited it. It's something that Jesus left you. It's the ability to not only live a godly life, but to operate in miracles. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Everybody's throning him, and she touches him at the very bottom of the hem, and he says, "I perceive power has been taken from my body." That's dunamis power, by the way. Dunamis. She was instantly healed. You have that living in your body through the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, none of this is by you. Personally, I've done seen what my strength can get me. My ideas, my decisions, where they go. And that goes nowhere good. Always leads to death. Acts 1 and 3, it says, "You will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." That was Jesus talking to the disciples. And that word power means dunamis. That's dynamite power. That's explosive. That's the force that moves things, changes things, makes things happen. Not in the natural, not understanding in the natural. It's a supernatural power, dunamis. There is a second, and there's four of them, words used in the Greek translation for power, and it's exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, which means power by authority. And that is the next thing that you have in this dunamis power. Luke 10 and 19, authority to trample on snakes, serpents, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. That was, isn't that awesome? That's Jesus speaking. That is authority. That means I have the right to go in and arrest the enemy when he invades upon my property. This is holy ground. I am holy ground. My land is blessed. My children are blessed. My job, my income is blessed. I am promised blessings. You're invading on my property. I'm coming to arrest you and to kick you out right now. Take authority. What's the Bible say? Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. He has to. In the name of Jesus. Throw that word in there, the name above all name. All right, there is another one, and I may not pronounce these correctly, but I'll spell them for you. Is Iskush, I-S-C-H-U-S. This power is physical strength or inner fortitude. Iskus. It is the strength to courageously endure adversity, temptation, and spiritual assault. Iskush. Have you ever been at the end of yourself? God, I just cannot go on. Most of the time, you're operating in your own strength. That has been my experience. And this is when Iskush comes in. Do you remember Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong? Well, that is, he uses the word dunamis in it, but this is part of the dunamis power that you have. You have strength to bear. In Mark 12 and 30, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. That word is iskosh. 1 Peter 4 and 11 says, strength, God strengthens, gives strength. That is a supply that he gives us. That is the ability to endure. And when I watched a video this morning, this gentleman had a guy standing there, and he was in this pose. He said, how long can you do it? Well, that young guy probably did it longer than I could. But he says, when you get weak, God comes up next to you, and he strengthens you in that situation. It is physical and spiritual, or as they call it, inner fortitude. Inner fortitude is kush. There is another word, and this is the last word that they use in the Greek for translating power. It's the power of dominion. It's called, now the Greeks used it as a god's name, but it was originally a Greek name. It's called katos, K-R-A-T-O-S, Kratos, K-R-A-S. K-R-A-T-O-S, I'm sorry, Kratos is a Greek god. They named him after that. But it is power of dominion. Dominion. Hebrews 2 and 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now they're talking about Jesus. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That is the exact word in King James. That is the power of dominion. This is why healing is so important. That's death. Speaking over your life when you're ill in the name of Jesus. We have dominion over that. Because he got up and rose on the third day, he took the keys away from death, hell, and the grave, we old-time Pentecostals would say. All three of them are gone. You have dominion over that. So when the enemy comes and invades your territory, which you know is illegal for him to do, not only do you have the power to do it, you have dominion to tell him to get out. I am a child of God, and this will not be so. That is not according to his will. Every aspect of Jesus' life and death gives us an inheritance to do the will of God. Curses were broken by Jesus when he hung on the cross. Do you remember Galatians 3 and 13? It says, cursed is the man that hangs on the cross. Well, Jesus became the curse for us. Everything that the fall afforded us through a curse, Jesus walked through in victory, hung on the cross, rose from the dead, so that it all could be taken away. Let's just look at a few examples. He was falsely accused. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was abused. And that was before he went to the post and was beaten physically. They did slap his face, pull his beard, pull the hair out of his beard, which was a great disrespect for them at that time. But they were falsely accusing him. They had paid people to come and falsely accuse him. But, you know, he endured all that so that you and I could be victorious when we experience those things. How do I know that? Matthew, you remember the Beatitudes? Matthew 5. Blessed when you are reviled, persecuted, uttered evil falsehoods against you. He says, rejoice and be glad. Let me just read that. It's Matthew 5. I like all the Beatitudes. We're just going to, I did a sermon one time. It said, be my attitude. Beatitudes, be my attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you want to see God? Pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall rival you, shall persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ain't nothing new. Is there anything that we didn't get? I like the idea of walking in power and authority. I heard a preacher talk this week, and I want to share this bit of revelation with you because it was wonderful. He said, even the crown of thorns had a purpose. Do you remember in Genesis 3 when the land was cursed with thorns and thistles and the man is going to have to work from it? He wore the crown of thorns for you because your land doesn't have to be cursed anymore. Isn't that wonderful? Stripes on his back is my healing, salvation. Let me tell you a little something about the accusers, the ones that accused him and killed him and mocked him and beat him. As he's hanging on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with my enemies doing that. I'm working on it. I'm getting better. I'm learning to pray for them. I'm learning to, because you know what? If I don't forgive them, then the word says he doesn't have to forgive me. That's word. That is word. Does he keep his promises? Yes, he does. Even in that. Even the thorns had purpose. Even the thorns. Isn't that wonderful to think that everything that he did, everything had purpose? Stripes, the bleeding, the mocking, the false accusation, the being deserted by those he loved. Do you ever feel deserted? I do. I talked, me and my husband were talking about it today, how as the older you get, the more you realize how important only certain people are in your life. And even sometimes they can walk away. But God will never walk away. Never. Never. Everything about you is blessed. Stay in his word. Stay in his will. And see the blessings flow. See the blessings flow. And I'm not just talking about the physical, natural stuff. I'm talking about the spiritual things. Baby, you know what? All that nice, that stuff is nice. Because, you know, I'm the girl that he wooed and wooed with jewelry. But I've learned that that stuff can't bring me peace. It can't bring joy. There's a little bit difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is a short-lived emotion. Joy is a way to walk through the snakes and the serpents with power and authority, and not to let the enemy come in and have his way with my life and those that I love. Because they are blessed too from my victories, through his victories. Tell me, what power are you going to let the enemy have? What don't you want? Do you want dominion? Do you want authority and power? Do you want dudamus power? I want to see the dead raised and the blind eyes open. I want to see cancer be gone. I want to witness all that myself. I want to see that power flow again. I had a godfather who was an old-time Pentecostal minister, and one day they were in church praying. Back then, they had them old potbelly stoves in the middle. They didn't have electric heat. They had coal heat. That's where we come from, coal people. And my grandmother, my godmother was praying, and she said, God, if you be real, just let me stick my hand in there and pull it back out with no damage. And God, he let her have that. And she put her hand in there and pulled it back out, and it wasn't even smoking. That's the power and authority I want to see. I want to walk in that. I want to make a difference in this life. I want my life to count for something just like Jesus did. How about you? It's your inheritance. It's what God has given you. It's his will. It's his testament. Are you going to be the testimony that he died for you to have? Think about that. I love a good shout. I love a good praise. But I want to walk in power. I've got to give up myself. I've got to do his will. But his will is always better. Father, we thank you and praise you for the inheritance that we have been given through Christ.